study, and we're going to release our faith to God.
Okay. I have a couple, but I haven't quite got them all wrote down yet. So as you pray for these, I'll try to get these wrote down.
You're busy listening.
Yeah. My spirit was eaten. Okay, the first one is, let's pray for our sweet brother, Tara Glaze, who has gotten some kind of virus, and it has left him too weak that he had to postpone his meetings that he had scheduled.
Okay.
And then let's pray for Sarah Robinson this week. This is the week her white count is low. This week, her white count is low and is prone to infections.
Okay. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, it is purely on the basis of your covenant of love that we approach this throne of grace. We come in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And Lord, you said in your word that we can approach the throne of grace and find help in a time of need. Father, our brother Terrell Glaze needs your help in getting past, Lord God, the effects of a virus that has attacked his body, Lord, leaving him weak to the point that he needed to postpone meetings. Lord, we know that that is not your will. We know, Lord God, that even in it you're working for his good. But, Father, we ask for a sure and certain and speedy healing and recovery. We speak life and health over him in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for Sarah Robinson. And, Lord, we just speak to her blood. We speak to the blood cell count, the white count, Lord God, to be as it should be, that every level in her blood be as it should be. Father, we pray for Jonathan. I pray for Jody Miller. I pray, Lord Jesus, for Cody Highsmith, Lord God. Father, you know that these have been anointed. They have been prayed over in accordance with your word in James chapter 5. And we stand in agreement with your word that they were healed. By your stripes they are healed. And we give you praise and thanks for it, Lord. We simply bring them before you so that when the full manifestation of their healing is evident to eyes, to physical eyes, that all the glory will belong to you. We ask you to glorify your name. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
And then we have two more. Pray for Johnny Patrick or Joni Patrick, who was traveling in her car at Four Corners and was hit by a truck and metaflighted to OKC. Pray for the family of Catherine Henning Brown, who passed away yesterday.
Okay. Father, first of all, we bring Joni before you, Lord. You know the accident that was had, Lord God, out here by Four Corners. Father, we ask, Lord God, that in this you would give medical staff, Lord, wisdom to do the things that you have gifted them to do. We claim that they are truly a gift from you, and Father, they can do amazing things. And we ask that to the fullest of their ability, they do everything right and good, nothing they don't need to do. But Father, beyond their abilities, by all means, we trust you, Lord God, for recovery and healing, protection, Lord God, even now in the hospital. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for the family of Catherine Henning, Lord God, and we pray your peace and comfort be upon them, their hope be set on heaven. May the Holy Spirit's peace and comfort be theirs. We pray that in this family, as in every family, there are people, I'm sure, that need to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. There are people who need to come back to their relationship with you, and we pray, God, that you would use this time when hearts are tender to draw people to you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They are our sponsor for today. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church at New Liberty, located at 18304 East 1140 Road. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey, will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
From all of us here at PKN Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your fifth President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson will congratulate Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. We all have guidelines that we live by. These guidelines are protective. They're essential to a truly productive life. They not only give you increase on the outside, they bring you security on the inside. When the guidelines are established is important. You don't want to establish them in the journey, but before you begin, how you start will be an indicator of where you will end.
Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barbara Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barbara Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barbara Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barbara Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. And his title for today is Your Breakthrough is God's Billboard. Back Amen. To you, sir.
Amen. We got to be advertising for the Lord. So we were just reading in Mark chapter 5, the first part of the program, about the man who had a legion of demons in the area of the lake of Gennesaret, Lord God, or Gergesenes, or what all kind, you know, whatever it is, you know. But the man had so many demons, he had literally intimidated the whole countryside. Jesus went across there, cast those demons out into a herd of pigs. The pigs ran down in the lake and drowned themselves. The man was set free. The pig herders went and told everyone about it, started advertising. This man's breakthrough became God's billboard. All the people came out to see what had happened, and there Jesus was there. He told the man, go home, tell your family, tell them about how much the Lord has done for you and the mercy. And the man went not only there, but to 10 cities and began to tell his testimony. Said the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. That's verse 20, Mark chapter 5, verse 20. He had to tell how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So his breakthrough was God's billboard. Let's keep reading. Verse 21, when Jesus again crossed over by boat, in other words, he went back to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And there, one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus, came there, seeing Jesus, fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. Now, he didn't say no, did he? He didn't say, come back later. You don't deserve it. No, he went. And a matter of fact, every person who came to Jesus in the New Testament for healing received it. So if you want to base your faith on something, I would strongly suggest you base your faith on the Word of God, not your experience or someone else's. So Jesus went with him. Now a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she had spent all that she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. In other words, the doctors couldn't help her. And you know what? There are a lot of times where doctors can't help people. They try. They do the best they can. And you know what? In her day, medical treatments weren't anything like what they are now. They were probably very primitive, and they were still costly, but not costly like now. And she had spent everything. So she's literally just, her health is gone. Her finances are gone. There's no mention whatsoever that she has family support, but everything that she had is now gone. She is literally at the end of her rope. Now watch what happens. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. Now verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Let me ask you a question. I wonder where she ever got that idea. How did she even know that Jesus healed people? I'm going to tell you why. Because their breakthrough was God's billboard. Your healing is not really your healing. Your healing is actually God's healing. He's the one that gets the glory for it. He's the one who does it. If you're healed, it's because of God. Now, there are plenty of good people in the medical profession who give God the glory and the honor. I love it when someone tells me, I went to the doctor. My doctor always prays with me. I'm like, thank God for that. Praise God for that. But there are also some in the medical profession who don't give God any glory. They want to take the credit for it. But I, even in the case of even when they do all that they can and the person recovers and there's that doctor never mentions God, I guarantee you this, somebody is praying. Somebody's praying. And God is the one who's actually doing the good. And we give him the praise for it. So she had heard. I want to say it this way. She had read the billboard. Jesus is the healer. She came up behind him because she believed, she thought, she imagined. Matthew's version says she said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. So she did. She comes up behind him in a crowd. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that, I'm going to read it like it is, the dunamis had gone out of him. The reason I read it that way is because that is the Greek word there, power. And it's also the same Greek word that when Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive dunamis. That same power that healed this woman, you know where that power resides now? In every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer. Now, many of those born-again believers don't understand that power. They don't know how to release that power. They don't believe for a second that they could lay hands on the sick and the sick recover, but they could. They just don't know it. And since they don't know it, they don't use it. Let me ask you a quick question. You don't have to respond for the sake of embarrassing yourself, but when was the last time that you prayed for someone, laying your hands upon them, expecting them to be healed? That's not something that preachers should be doing. That's something that Christians should be doing. We're all called to be salt and light, not just those that are called into the fivefold ministry. The purpose of pastors and teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, if you read your Bible in Ephesians 4, it says that that purpose God gave those gifts to the body is to prepare God's people for the works of service. We ought to all be going about, and it shouldn't be some big religious thing. It should be that, hey, we're at work. We got a coworker over there, and they're, maybe I'll give you, I'll just imagine they're over there, and they're just, oh, my goodness. And you go, are you all right? And they go, oh, man, I got a headache. Well, just, oh, it'll kill a horse. I said, well, thank God you're not a horse. And I, would you like for me to pray for you? You might not even know if they're a believer or they're not. I'm going to tell you something that I hope you get this, and I hope you start practicing it. Treat everyone as if they are a believer in Jesus Christ and that they believe and know the Word of God until they prove you otherwise. Expect them to believe. Expect them to want you to pray with them. I have asked thousands of people for over 30 years if they wanted prayer, and I've only had a couple of people who turned me down. And I'm like, well, that's all right. That's between you and the Lord. I'm pray for you anyway, but no, you know. But I'm not praying for their whatever it was. I'm praying for their heart to be opened to receive the Lord. Because whatever it was that the enemy used against them to build that barricade, that thing needs to come down. Because God is not the source of their troubles. God didn't take their loved one. He received their loved one. There's a huge difference. You know, God receives people when they pass away. He doesn't take them, you know. If his will was being done, people wouldn't die young. we would live out the length of our days. And this is, I believe this to be the absolute truth from scriptural examples. We'd live out the length of our days and we'd go to be with the Lord. It'd be like we'd go to sleep and just wake up with Jesus. Moses lived to be 120 years old. He wasn't sick. His eye was not diminished. His strength was not diminished. If God can do it for Moses in the Old Testament, what can he do for us under the New Covenant? Just saying, we don't have to die sick, and we sure don't have to die young. There are people, though, that go around talking about it. Say, well, everybody in my family got a heart disease. I'm going to probably die before I'm 60. I'm like, well, you probably will. Because you believe it, and you speak it. And that is how faith operates. Even for people who don't realize that's what they're doing, that is what they're doing. We as human beings created in the image of God. Our words have power. That's why Jesus said you're going to be held accountable for those words. So be careful what you say, little lips. Amen. So here's Jesus going through the countryside. The demonic guy's life, his breakthrough becomes a billboard. And now here's a woman with an issue of blood who gets an image in her mind after hearing about Jesus, that if she could just touch the tassel of his prayer garment where the anointing dripped off, that she could be made whole. So she sneaks up on him because it was illegal for her to be out and about in public. She was considered unclean by Jewish law, couldn't be in a crowd. She could be stoned to death for being there. That's why she snuck up on him from behind in the crowd and why she didn't just come up and ask. Because by their standards of law, she was unfit to be anywhere near a rabbi or even other people. And for her unclean person to touch a teacher, a rabbi, ooh, man, she could have been stoned to death. But she was desperate. She was desperate. She touched the hem of his garment. At once Jesus knew and realized that power had gone out from him. In verse 30, he turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you ask, who touched me?" One translator said, "How can you ask who touched me?" Like somebody said, everybody's touching you. And I bet that was true. I bet you that there were hundreds of people that as Jesus squeezed his way through the crowd, they brushed up against him, but there was no power released from him. Because it's not touching Jesus physically that releases that dunamis power of God, but it is touching him with faith. Faith moves the heart of God. Amen? It's not just need. God is not always moved by a person's needs. If he was, there wouldn't be any needs. Nobody would need anything. Now, there are times where God, out of his absolute pure compassion, in order to try to provoke a response from someone who's not even asking for it, like Jesus went one day and there was a funeral procession came by. A widow from the city of Nain had lost her only son. Now, this woman's future is dark and bleak because she is going to have no one to take care of her. Her plight in life is going to be that she's going to be out on the streets begging for whatever crumbs people might just hope to give her. That's the best she's got to look forward to. And this funeral procession is going by, and they're all weeping and wailing. And Jesus, moved by compassion alone, no one asked him. They didn't petition him. "Lord, would you raise this woman's son? He's her only son. She's going to be in a terrible position." Nobody said anything. Jesus just walked over there and touched that casket, and that young man sat up, and he was restored back to his mother. And he did it simply out of compassion. It was his faith, not anybody else's. He did it simply out of compassion and his faith. But more often than not, that's one example. Now I can show you 30 examples from the Word, at least, where people, he stepped over people to get to the one who had faith.
Come on.
He didn't heal everybody. He healed everybody that asked. And whole multitudes of people, whole entire multitudes of people. Every single person in the whole multitude crowd got healed. But it was because there was a release of faith. Faith, listen, your need will sometimes move God. But your faith will always move God. Do you want sometimes or always? I'll take me some always. I'm going to get active. I'm not going to just sit back and go, you know, if God wants to do it, it'll get done. Most of the time, that is not the truth. That is not the truth. Because God wills everyone to be saved, but we still have to respond, don't we? We have to receive Jesus. Well, he wants you healed, you've got to respond and receive healing. He wants you provided for, you've got to respond and receive provision. It's already all done. You just need to receive it. Come on. Amen. So she got healed, but Jesus wanted, he didn't want to just leave it at that. I mean, if it was just about her, get this. This is coming to me right now. I mean, this is right now. I never thought of this before just a second ago. If it was only about her, didn't she get what she needed? Yeah, she got what she needed. Go on about your business, Miss Anonymous. You know, go on. But see, it wasn't about her. It's not why this story's in the Bible. It's why this account is in the Bible. Yes, she had a tremendous need in her life. 12 years of suffering with that. Losing everything she's got. Her future's pretty bleak. But she comes and by faith she touches the hem of his garment and receives her healing. And Jesus, here's the powerful thing. Jesus didn't just let it go at that. Because she snuck in and snuck out. Now watch. Watch what happens. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Everybody touched you. How can you ask who touched me?" Verse 32. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. In other words, he was not going to let this go. He kept looking around, kept looking around. And then the woman, knowing what happened in her, came and what happened. She fell at his feet. Now she's in front of him. Before, she wouldn't have dared come there. She fell at his feet. Now she's trembling with fear because she broke the law. Sometimes you got to go against what people say in order to receive what God says you have. Amen. Hallelujah. So, she told him the whole truth. I bet it was a pretty long story because she's got 12 years of details, and she probably told him the details. And while Jesus, she told him the whole truth, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Your faith. He said, not mine, it's your faith. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Now, I'd love to read the story about the little girl that got raised from the dead. I'm going to skip that for right now because I want to go somewhere else. Now, if you follow on, Jairus was the one who started this. His daughter was laying home. Jesus went there. He said, "She's not dead. She's just asleep." He called things that is not as though they were. He spoke words of faith. They laughed at him, said, "She's dead. You don't know he's dead." He put them out. Get rid of the unbelievers in your life. Don't share with everybody everything you're believing God for, because there are a lot of wet blankets in the world. But if you got friends, if you got church family, you got pastors, you got whatever that will believe God with you, then by all means, if you feel prompted, you share. You don't have to share it with anybody to receive it. She didn't tell anybody what she's going to do. It was her faith, just hers, all by herself. Your faith, all by yourself, even if nobody else believes it. Your faith can get a breakthrough, and your breakthrough will be God's billboard. I'm going to show you how her breakthrough is God's billboard. How did she receive her healing? She received it by faith, but she did it. Her act of faith was to come up and touch Jesus' garment. So the very next chapter, Mark chapter 6, look at verse 53. Mark 6, 53. Now, when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, that's Jesus and the disciples, again crossed over where the demonic guy was before. What had happened in between? Well, the demonic guy, and then he crossed back over, and then here comes this woman with the issue of blood, and she touches the hem of his garment, and her faith released the anointing that was on Jesus' life, and she received her healing. And she received that. Her act of faith was to physically touch the hem of his garment, right? We all agree with that. Then Jesus crosses back over. I'm going to tell you something. In those days, that lake's not that big. And how many of you know, well, word-of-mouth advertising is so valuable? If you could sell word-of-mouth advertising, even Neva would get rich off that. You know, if you could sell it. But people will share both good and bad. So we got to be careful what we're advertising. But when I get a breakthrough from God and I begin to share that, and then people need a breakthrough from God, and my breakthrough inspires them to breakthrough, it'll break out like a wildfire. Jesus crosses back over to Gennesaret, anchored there. Verse 54, as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. Now remember, this is the region where they asked him to leave. Just one chapter ago, when the pigs drowned and the guy got free, they said, oh, leave us, leave our region. We don't know what to do with you. And he goes back over to the other side, and a woman touches the hem of his garment and receives her breakthrough. And then he crosses back over, and a whole crowd comes to meet him. And they ran throughout the whole region. They recognized him, verse 55. They ran throughout the whole region, and they carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, in villages and towns or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him to let them, watch this, touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed, all of them. Where'd they get the idea to touch a cloak? Well, they read the billboard.
Come on.
Her billboard was shining brightly. Did you hear about the woman? Did you hear about the woman over there across the lake? Did you hear about the woman? 12 years she suffered. She's just simply come up and touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. It's like, hey, let's go get Mama. Mama needs a healing. Let's go get Papa. He needs a healing. Let's go get Cousin It. Everybody's got a Cousin It. Let's go get Cousin It. We're going to bring Cousin It. Cousin It need Jesus. You know, come on. And so we bring him. How do we bring him? We bring them by letting our breakthrough become God's billboard. And here, last thing we're going to look at, it's Revelation 12:11. I'm just going to quote it to you, read it from the King James Version Bible. Says it this way, Revelation 12:11. It's speaking of the martyrs in heaven who had overcome the devil. And it says they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. And what else, church? The word of their testimony. Their testimony what? Their testimony about what Jesus has done for me. Your testimony about what Jesus has done for you is actually testimony of who Jesus is. If Jesus has healed my body, then I testify that Jesus is healer. If he has met my needs financially, I testify Jesus is provider. If he has saved my soul from destruction and transformed me into a child of God from being a lost person who was living in darkness, then he is Jesus, my Savior, your Savior, the Savior. So if you're listening to me today and say, you know what, I don't know, I haven't received all that stuff. Others have. This Bible is full of examples. When you look around you, I guarantee you there are people around you who have known the power, touch of God. They've received healing in their bodies. If you need healing in your body, you get a hold of somebody who believes, who has received, and let their faith, let their billboard, their breakthrough become your breakthrough. And then do this. Whatever Jesus has done for you, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Testify. Don't just run around doing it, but when the opportunity presents itself. When you're talking to a coworker or a friend or a family member or whoever, and you'll know, the Holy Spirit will prompt you. The opportunity will arise. Advertise for the Lord. Let your breakthrough be his billboard so that he can draw them to himself. If you're listening to me today and you need a breakthrough, you're not selfish because you need a breakthrough. God wants you to have a breakthrough. He wants to use you for a living billboard. So if you want to receive your breakthrough today, I would strongly suggest this, that you come at it from this angle. God, I will give you all the glory. And now you got to mean it. God, I will give you all the glory. And I'll give you glory before the breakthrough, during the breakthrough, after the breakthrough. My praise will release the breakthrough. I'm going to call things that are not as though they were. I'm not going to look at what it is and call it what it is, or it's going to stay what it is. I'm going to get in agreement with the Word, and I'm going to call my breakthrough into my right now. And when I get it, I'll testify. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for our listeners today. Father, if there be anyone listening to me who's never had the greatest breakthrough of all, and that is to know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, I pray today that, Holy Spirit, you convince and convict their hearts that, yes, they too can be a child of the living God. They are loved. They are forgiven. A just need to receive it. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive today everything you have for me in spite of me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, the healer, the provider. And I ask you, Jesus, to save me, to heal me, to provide for me whatever you have. I entrust myself to you. I confess you as my Lord. I believe in my heart you are raised from the dead. And now and forevermore, I belong to you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. If you prayed that, you just prayed the most powerful prayer in the universe. And I believe that you are a living breakthrough. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.